Lord, may the words that I speak today and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two people came to talk to their pastor about an issue in their families. In both cases, the situation was a fight with one of their children. The first was struggling with the guilt after losing their temper. Things have got out of hand, and they'd said some things they shouldn't have said. Ever been in that situation? The second was struggling with anger at what had been said to them. Ever been in that situation? In both cases, what had happened ate away at these people. Whether it was sin they had committed or sin that had been committed against them. In both cases, their question was, how can I get rid of this sin in our relationship and the effects of it? That's a question that so many people are asking in the world, aren't they? The only thing the pastor could do was point these people, as John the Baptist had, to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sin is the rubbish that clings to our souls. The problem with rubbish is the longer it hangs around, the worse it gets, and the more problems it brings. Physical rubbish, not only not properly dealt with, can make people sick. It can spread disease, and if you have too much of it, it will eventually attract creatures like rats. Some of us are probably old enough to remember and remember the pictures that came out of England during the strikes of Margaret Thatcher's time. Seems a long time ago, doesn't it? When she had standoffs with the unions and piles of rotting rubbish on the streets of London. Rubbish needs to be removed for us to be healthy and live in a functioning society. Sin is spiritual rubbish. It needs to be taken away or it is unhealthy and it attracts nasty visitors. The spiritual rats are Satan and his demons. They're called unclean spirits in the Bible for a reason. Sin is Satan's raw material. It's all that he has to work with. He uses our sin against us. When we sin, he accuses us with, "You call yourself a Christian, then how could you do that?" Ever had that voice? He accuses our conscience and brings guilt and shame, which are spiritually unhealthy. He also uses the sin that has been committed against us, making us angry about it, so we're unable to let it go. He reminds us of the sins people have done to us, so we think, how could they do that to me? He gets in and rummages around in the garbage of our lives, stirring it all up and making an even bigger mess. So how do we deal and get rid of Satan and his spiritual demonic rats? Well, in the physical world, we set traps, don't we? But eventually, if there's still rubbish lying around, more rats will come. If we really don't want them around, then we've got to get rid of the rubbish. Jesus came to defeat Satan's work. He dealt with Satan by removing the rubbish of sin. God got rid of the spiritual rats by removing the rubbish from our souls. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What was John the Baptist trying to bring to mind when he called Jesus the Lamb of God? John's declaration was made in the light of what was revealed to him when he baptized Jesus. The synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that at Jesus' baptism, God the Father revealed him to Israel, that heaven was torn open and that the Spirit descended like a dove upon Jesus, and the Father declared him to be his beloved Son. John the Baptist was true to the role he was called to do. John 1, 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. John hadn't come to proclaim his own name. He said, "I must decrease, he must increase." He was merely a voice crying in the wilderness. He declared Jesus was greater because he is the Son of God, and that Jesus' work was greater than his, for he would deal with sin and baptize people with the Holy Spirit. John called people to repentance and prompted them to turn to God. Jesus came to remove our sin. In his declaration, John picked up on a number of images from the Old Testament, which all culminate in revealing Jesus as the Lamb of God. When Abraham was tested by the Lord and asked to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, Isaac questioned Abraham, "We have the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham's response was a statement of faith. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham was stopped by an angel from sacrificing Isaac, and they saw a ram nearby, caught up in a bush, which they used as their sacrifice instead. Moses instructed the Israelites to take a lamb without blemish and sacrifice this lamb and put some of the blood on the doorposts of their homes. The blood was seen as a sign by the Lord as he passed over their houses, so that the judgment of the plague coming on the Egyptians didn't touch the Israelites. Later, the lambs sacrificed at the temple made atonement for the sins of people. Then there was the scapegoat, where once a year, on the great day of atonement, the high priest confessed the sins of the people over the scapegoat, and it was declared to bear the sins of the people and carry them away out into the wilderness. Then finally, there is the prophecy of Isaiah that we hear every Good Friday about the suffering servant of the Lord who was promised to come. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shears is silent, so he opened his mouth not. All of this is in the background and flows into the statement of John the Baptist when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was the once-for-all sacrifice for the sin of the world. He was our substitute. He gave his life for ours. Now, supposedly, there was a church in, I'm going to pronounce this wrong because my German is nil, actually, doesn't exist, but I'm presuming it's in Verden in Germany, that has a stone-carved figure of a lamb near the top of the church tower. Now, the story goes that when the church was being built, a stonemason fell from a high scaffold. His co-workers rushed down, expecting to find him dead. But to their surprise and joy, he was alive and only slightly injured. How did he survive? Well, a flock of sheep was passing beneath the tower at the time, and he landed on top of a lamb. The lamb broke his fall and was crushed to death, but the man was saved. So the figure of the carved lamb stands atop the church, in memory of this miraculous escape, but even more to remind the people that in Jesus just such a life-saving event has taken place. It's also important for us to look at the specific words in this statement that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. First, notice Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is just as Abraham had said, God will provide the sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. The sacrifice for our sins is not provided by us, but by God himself. Next, notice what the Lamb did with sin. He takes it away. The word takes away is different from the one for forgive. It includes forgiveness, but it's bigger than that. The word means something is taken away, got rid of, removed, and even carried away by bearing it. That is what the Lamb of God did. We don't do it. Satan tries to make us think we must deal with our sin in our life by being better, trying harder, praying harder, believing harder, and pulling ourselves up by our own collective bootstraps. But it doesn't work, does it? We don't need to be the ones to deal with sin, because that is what Jesus the Lamb came to do. Finally, notice what Jesus as the Lamb of God took away. It's not sins plural, but sin singular. It's not just the symptoms of bad behaviour here and there, sins, but this is the much deeper disease of sin, singular. And it's not just for one group of people or one type of person, but for the world. This is the once-for-all sacrifice. If Jesus removed the sin of the world, then he took away the sin in our life. He removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Sin happens by us and to us and accumulates, and we try to hide it away or forget about it, but it doesn't go away. The symptoms of guilt and shame or anger and bitterness keep arising, reminding us there is a deeper problem. We need to bring these things to the Lamb of God and acknowledge that he took them away forever. Where do we go to know our spiritual rubbish has been removed by the Lamb of God? Well, we get a hint, I think, about thinking where we use these words. We use them here in worship, don't we? Jesus, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. We sing or pray these words right before we receive Holy Communion. It's here in worship, culminating in Holy Communion, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, invites us to come to reaffirm and acknowledge that he has removed the rubbish from our souls. This goes for the rubbish we are responsible for creating and for that which has been dumped on us. When we say, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us, we're praying that just as he has taken away the sin of the world by his death on the cross, so now, as we receive his body and blood given and shed on the cross, we acknowledge he has taken away the sin in our lives, the rubbish clinging to our souls. Is there any rubbish hanging around the recesses of our hearts, scrunched up and stuffed away? Are we reminded it's there every now and then, by some wave of guilt or outburst of anger? What is the rubbish in our life that we need to see the Lamb has taken away? Jesus didn't just take away the rubbish and leave us with an empty void, though. He gives us immeasurably more in return. He took the yuck stuff, and in a once and for all act, and in return, constantly gives us his purity, his holiness, his freedom, and his peace through the indwelling presence of the Spirit in our lives. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Jesus, Lamb of God, you took away the sin of the world. Holy Spirit, help us to stand firm in our recognition of this truth and thereby defeat the lies that Satan tells us. Father, help us to live our lives in the freedom of knowing that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.